Bridgebank helps breakthrough ideas actually break through and remains dedicated to providing financial solutions to those committed to leveraging innovation to make the world a better place. Bridgebank, a division of Western Alliance Bank. Bridgebank, be bold, venture wisely.
Hi there, I'm Rand Abdelfattah from Throughline. If you're listening to this podcast, you know that KQED produces exceptional storytelling that keeps you informed, inspired, and entertained. Their podcasts cover issues from your neighborhood to the entire country and everything in between. Support this work today.
You can help us continue to bring quality podcasts to your ears. Just head to donate.kqed.org/podcast. That's donate.kqed.org/podcast.
From KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim. Coming up on Forum, it's Fashion Friday. Okay, that's not a thing. But we thought we'd talk fashion today after a week of intense topics. And because, as history teaches us, moments of global crisis can transform our relationship to clothes in lasting ways. So what's the clothing that's getting you through? And what do you think fashion will be after a period when fashion mattered less? Share your thoughts after this news. This is Forum. I'm Mina Kim. You may not be thinking much about your clothes these days, but Elizabeth Segrin, a senior staff writer at Fast Company, says the fashion industry certainly is. Will the work-from-home set ditch their sweatpants when the pandemic is over, for example? And will people really want to dress up again? Or has fashion permanently shifted, as it often does in response to extraordinary times? Elizabeth Segrin, welcome to Forum.
Thank you so much for having me.
I want to start by sharing a tweet we got when we asked listeners yesterday what item of clothing has been getting them through the pandemic. This is from Brendan, who tweets, "I have informal and formal sweatpants now for staying in or going to the grocery store, respectively. The formal ones are black. That's the difference." I like this tweet because certainly sales and searches for sweatpants spiked this year, whether you were lucky enough to work from home or even reported regularly to a job because days off were often spent at home and people were craving comfort, right?
Absolutely. There were two big types of categories of clothes that people tended to invest in. A lot of loungewear, sweatpants. I'm sort of on the other side of this. I was really into wearing very comfortable, glorified versions of nightgowns, basically. There's a whole trend now around a dress called the nap dress that is so comfortable that you're able to do a Zoom call and then immediately go into your afternoon nap. And so really it seems like comfort is key regardless of what aesthetic you're going for.
And it makes sense because, as you write, it's not the first time that during moments of crisis, fashion pivots to meet the needs of the moment.
Absolutely. I mean, more broadly, over the last 100 years, the story of fashion has been a story of casualization. As a society, we've sort of made the collective decision that we are done with formal, uncomfortable clothes, and we're far more interested in wearing clothes that allow us to do what we need to do and feel comfortable in. And what's interesting is that moments of crisis have accelerated this shift towards more casual clothing. So in World War I, for instance, women previously had been wearing gowns that they would change in and out of throughout the day. And during World War I, they decided that was too complicated. They were just going to stick to one dress. And their dress started to have pockets in it, which was a big development in women's fashion. Then after World War II, women started wearing trousers, which was another shift in casualization. And so moments of crisis tend to propel us further into this casual aesthetic. And I think we're seeing the same thing happen now with this pandemic.
So then does that mean that this pandemic will make us even more casual afterward, meaning sweatpants will become what jeans were, for example, in the before times?
I think that is going to happen. But I do have a caveat, though, which is that during moments of crisis, we tend to wear clothes to meet the moment, as you said. And I think that what generally happens is that after that period, people start wanting to do something very different, right? So after, in the 1920s, after the First World War and the previous pandemic, there was the Roaring Twenties, and there were these flapper dresses. And then after World War II, where, you know, women in particular were wearing, you know, very sort of masculinized clothing, there was this new look that came out, developed by Christian Dior, which was very feminized. And so I think after the crisis, there's this brief period where people are just really sick of being forced to wear a particular type of garment, and they go in the opposite direction. But that's not the whole story. When you look at the span of history, what tends to happen is that shifts that happened during that moment of crisis live on. And so I think in this particular moment, we're going to see that, you know, sweatpants became a uniform for us. And there's no reason that that's not going to continue to be the case, particularly as our lifestyles change more permanently. Because, you know, it seems like work from home is going to be increasingly the way that we work. And so it totally makes sense that things like sweatpants and nap dresses are going to be what we wear to work, because we're going to be working at home.
We're talking with Elizabeth Segrin, senior staff writer for Fast Company. So I want to dig into what you're saying a little bit more. So post-World War II, when women were wearing coveralls and more masculine, more practical clothing, you're talking about how Christian Dior came out with these like A-line skirts and these really fitted waists and short feminine jackets. So it was like this radically feminine reversal. And I'm assuming that some in the fashion industry are expecting that to happen and are probably gearing up in that direction. So first of all, let me just ask you that. Is that something that some designers think will happen and are trying to design for?
Yes, absolutely. So I think there's a lot of discussion among designers and fashion brands about what comes next. And I think that there is a sense that people are going to want to return to fabulous clothing, at least for a little while. But I think that there's also another more practical fact here, which is that a lot of designers had created clothes for 2020 that they were not able to sell because nobody was buying clothes for weddings, you know, formal wear. And so there is this kind of backlog of inventory, which I think will be marketed to us as soon as the world returns to normal. So there's that happening. But I think that, you know, when I've spoken to designers, many of them have acknowledged that there is a sort of irreversible change that's happening. And it's something that they've been thinking about for a long time. You know, a few decades ago, it seemed completely inconceivable that people would go to work to offices wearing leggings. But, you know, Lululemon sells lots of leggings that women actually wear to the office with a nice top. This is already something that the fashion industry has been seeing and adapting to. And so I think that they're going to continue doing that. And, you know, designers are going to create, you know, high-end sweatpants. We're already seeing that. We're seeing these beautiful cashmere sweatpants that are uber comfortable. We're seeing sweatpants with, you know, slightly different cuts and fits. There's certainly going to be an effort to, you know, elevate the sweatpant, but I do think that the sweatpant is going to be, you know, part of our everyday wear from now on.
Well, a couple of comments are reflecting different things we've talked about in our conversation. So, for example, KQED arts reporter Nastya Voinovskaya I think is reflecting this desire to try to get a little more dressy again. Nastia tweets, I wore a fuzzy pink bucket hat to a Zoom meeting yesterday to spice things up.
Very nice.
And then Irina tweets, I've been wearing cardigans a lot more than I used to. Big and soft cardigans for cold mornings, regular ones for a casual vibe leaving the house, or lighter ones to pair as an outfit for the occasional times I want to look cute for myself at home. So I think Irina is also really pulling together what you've been talking about. So it sounds like you're saying, or I'm wondering if you think the pandemic, as we've been moving towards more casual generally, do you think the pandemic really accelerated that trend?
Yes, I think it accelerated a trend that had already been happening. And that's actually something that we see over and over again throughout history. When these moments of crisis happen, there's basically an acceleration of something that was already beginning to happen, right? So pockets were already slowly beginning to pop up before World War I, and suddenly they have the technology and the design and the patterns to make these dresses, and suddenly everybody was incorporating them. Same with trousers, right? They'd started fitting women in trousers. These are trends that have already been happening. The materials and the technologies are out there. There are factories that are already skilled at making these products, and so now they're just kind of accelerating that. But I think the other kind of important thing to bring up here is that just in general, we have been consuming a lot fewer clothes during the pandemic. So many of us are going back to the same few items. I've been wearing the same three nap dresses in rotation for the last year. And so I think that one other important thing that's going to come out of this is that we may move towards realizing that we don't need as much. And that's really important because for the last 20 years, there's been this huge shift towards fast fashion, which has caused us to consume, far more clothes than we actually need.
Yes, and also made clothes so much less quality, like less durable.
Totally. And I think that the pandemic has just forced us to take a different approach to our clothes. We're wearing our clothes frequently. We're wearing the same clothes day after day. And so I think, this is a good trend that's happened. And when we do have this moment of, like all your colleagues are talking about, wanting a shift, right? And wanting to try, fabulous clothes again, we might turn to, for instance, a platform like Rent the Runway and just rent these clothes instead of buying them, now that we know what it's like to just have, have fewer clothes in our daily rotation.
Well, I hope if we do move toward more quality, durable clothing, that it will also become more affordable, because that's also something that's made fast fashion so appealing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that in the conversations that I've had with designers over the course of my work, they are noticing that durability is something that seems important. People are willing to spend a little bit more for a garment that they know will last them longer. And that's new because, over the past 20 years, the push has been towards creating clothes that are basically disposable. And so this might ultimately actually be what the fashion industry needed to change behaviors so that we can go back to a more sustainable form of consumption when it comes to clothing.
We're talking about COVID fashion and how the pandemic has shaped our attitudes about clothing. We're talking with Elizabeth Segrin, senior staff writer for Fast Company, and we want to invite you, our listeners, to join the conversation. What item of clothing or an accessory has gotten you through the pandemic? Are you considering never dressing up again because you've enjoyed this so much, or are you excited about dressing for going out, wearing trendy styles? Give us a call, 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch on Twitter or Facebook at KQED Forum, or email your questions or comments to forum@kqed.org. We'll have more after the break. I'm Mina Kim.
Support for Forum comes from San Francisco Opera. Set 10 years after a school shooting, the critically acclaimed opera Innocence takes us into a complex emotional journey where our understanding of innocence and guilt is constantly upended. Kaija Saariaho's ethereal score collapses the past into the present as a community of survivors grapple with how to move forward. Don't miss the highly anticipated American premiere of Innocence, June 1st through 21st. Learn more at sfopera.com.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. We're talking about how the pandemic has shaped our attitudes toward fashion and what post-pandemic fashion will be. Give us a call, 866-733-6786, if you want to share what item of clothing has gotten you through so far and what you're considering now, never dressing up again or excited to dress up. Have you begun to rethink the importance of how you appear to the outside world or other noticing other cultural shifts related to clothes? Again, 866-733-6786. Our email address, forum@kqed.org. Reach us on Twitter or Facebook at KQED Forum. We're joined by Elizabeth Segrin, senior staff writer at Fast Company. And joining us now is Rehan Harmansi, culture writer, and her story, Pandemic Dressing Takes a Dark Turn, appears in the New York Times. It appeared in the New York Times in January. Rehan Harmansi, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
So that piece that you wrote in January was really interesting because you observed and experienced yourself another phenomenon that you describe as hate wearing, hate wear. So can you explain what that is? What is hate wearing?
Yes. What is hate wearing?
Is the easiest way to tell us what you would hate wear?
Yeah, well, I mean, for this occasion, you guys can't see me, but I am currently wearing a hat that doesn't fit, clothing of various sizes and fabrics, which I don't particularly like, just to get in the mood. No, I think that for me, it just became a thing I noticed this summer after I watched this movie that I hadn't seen in a while called Friends with Money. And there's a character in it played by Frances McDormand who in the film, she starts just not washing her hair. And so like, as the movie goes on, her friends are like, what is up with you? You know, like you're a fashion designer and you look crazy. And then towards the end, you kind of get into like what is going on in her head. She has like kind of a short fuse in general. And I think in the film, it was like about like a midlife crisis. But it really resonated with me because I feel like what we wear during the pandemic, like for me, hate wearing is kind of this like weird internal protest. Like, I'm not dressing to go anywhere for anyone. And I'm maybe kind of mad about it. And so in the story, I try to sort of break down, like, I think it's when it's not wearing like clothing that you love, but you think other people think ugly. I think hate wearing is more about like not even liking what you're wearing.
And that relates to the pandemic in what ways? I can hear it in your answer, but just wanting to go a little deeper on that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that like for a lot of us whose identities are related to where we work, like how we appear in the world, when you're sort of forced inside, as many white collar workers are, I think it is a kind of fundamental identity question, you know, like it seems like kind of silly, but like you have to put on clothing. Well, I guess you don't, but most people do put on clothing like in the morning. And I think that is some sort of reflection of like who they think they are, how they appear to the world. And I think that has been shaken up a bit this year.
Well, let me go to caller Juan in San Francisco. And you know what? I think, here we go. Hi, Juan.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to comment on this idea of fashion that I'm just so happy to see my wife kind of fall into this very, not necessarily unique uniform, but, you know, like an image that she's portraying that is really her. Whereas before the pandemic, she was so quick to like buy a lot of things and try them out. And, you know, like it messes with her kind of like, do I fit in this? Do I not fit in this? So I'm just really happy that the pandemic has allowed her to like really just get into, you know, a reflection of who she really, really is. And
it sounds like, well, do you mean that she was you feel like she was dressing for others as opposed to really for herself before the pandemic? And Juan, maybe you're trying to answer, but for some reason your phone is cutting out. So yeah, I think your connection's just a little off. So we're gonna assume that's what you meant. And then I'm gonna move on to our next caller, Sally in San Francisco. Hi, Sally.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm well, go right ahead.
One of the things I found myself doing, like a lot of people I think, is clearing out my closets, getting rid of clothes, deciding what I really want to keep. But when I wanted, to replace items, I've been turning to sites that offer previously used clothing. Because, A, you can get some really nice pieces at a really nice price. And also, you know, it's helping with the with fighting climate change and using all the water that's used for fast clothing.
Hmm. Is this something, I'm sure you were cognizant of it before the pandemic, Sally, but do you think that this is something that has been influenced by the pandemic for you?
Absolutely. Yes, I do think so. Online shopping is so, so much easier these days. And also, yes, I think because I've had so much more time on my hands, my wardrobe is something that something I've taken more interest in, I suppose.
Well, Sally, thanks for sharing that. This listener tweets, same 5 or 6 t-shirts topped with either the same flannel or the same work shirt where appropriate. Same 3 pairs of jeans, all bird slippers when it's below 65 degrees, plastic Birkenstocks when it's above, probably 25 days a month since this began. This almost sounds like a combination of the two things we were talking about, Elizabeth Segrin and Rayhan Harmansi. Somebody who is going back to the same things all the time, but I'm not sure Rayhan Harmansi, if she is if this listener is enjoying it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was quite a list. It's liberating.
It hits go ahead, Elizabeth Segrin.
No, I mean, I think it's really interesting because, I think Rayhan's point that clothes are this crucial way that we have been taught that we can express ourselves, that's something that we've had to rethink. I mean, on a deeper level, that's really something that we've had to rethink. And I think that this also plays into the language of fast fashion, right? Which is that you're supposed to have new outfits for different occasions and for different moods that you're in. And I think that, you know, this is sort of like prompting a lot of people to really ask themselves, you know, what do I want to wear when I'm at home, when I'm by myself, you know, when I'm not in front of other people? And I think in some cases, you know, it leads to like, you know, minor like existential crises. And in other cases, people are, you know, are just like, are finding their favorite thing to wear that they feel really makes them feel like themselves. And they're sort of going with it.
Mm. Have you felt more freedom to hate wear during the pandemic, Rayhan Harmansi, because you aren't going out?
Oh, I mean, I don't think I would have considered I think hate wear is totally a product of the pandemic. And I think that sort of question of like when you're, you know, on work calls all day or sort of like trying to adopt like a professional persona, but like you're constantly in your house, I think like, does it matter what I wear? Does it matter what I look like? Do I wish I had someplace to go am I happy to like have purchased like 15 pairs of sweatpants this month? I think that those can like sort of cut surprisingly deep.
Yeah. Well, Lynn writes, as someone who has worked from home since 2012, I definitely opt for a more casual day dress. However, I never wear sweatpants. I find I'm more productive if I get fully dressed, even shoes. I think what Lynn is getting at and sort of the other things that we've been talking about is also just this psycho-emotional role of fashion, like the psychological effects of clothes on us, Rayhan Harmansi.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that like a strategy I have had for years is like if I'm have a slight cold or like perhaps even a mild hangover, I would dress kind of extra formally for work. And that would kind of like remind me like that I am in a professional setting, you know? And I think just like strategies we've had to kind of like reflect our mood or our role, or, you know, is it, are you having a job interview? You know, like that, I mean, I'm thinking of it more in a professional sphere than like a personal or kind of like, and you know, going out kind of way, but it becomes really confusing when you can be anywhere and look any ways and you're just appearing digitally.
Well, let me go next to caller Linda in New Orleans. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for calling in.
So I have given up and am boycotting wearing a bra since the beginning of the pandemic because I figure that'll make the pandemic be over faster so people don't have to look at me without a bra, number one. I bought right before it started the most expensive bra I've ever bought in my life for $65, and it's just sitting there taunting me, but I am holding fast. And because I live in New Orleans, I make up for it by wearing gorgeous costumes and dresses, even when I'm just going to the local coffee shop.
Oh, wow. Well, I've a couple of things to ask you. One is, why do you describe not wearing a bra as boycotting? What do you attach to wearing it?
Well, I'm mad, right? So when you're mad at something, you boycott something. So maybe I'm mad at having to wear a bra my whole life, and I'm mad at the pandemic. Mm. I don't even know, but that's just my way of describing it.
Rehan Harmansi, that sounds very close to haywire.
Lynn, I think that you'd be very at home at my college group chat, which has been debating bras for the past 6 months now. You know, mostly opting against them, or maybe experimenting with sports bras all the time.
I think boycott's the right word. Absolutely no bra.
nothing nothing constricting.
Nothing. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Linda. Well, I want to ask you one last thing, Rehan Harmansi, before you need to leave us, which is, I understand from a piece that I read by you in The Cut that you and your family got really sick with COVID-19 last year. And I wonder if you think that experience influenced hate wearing for you.
Ah, that's an interesting question. I don't think that, although my therapist and I will be excited to explore that next week. I think that for me, honestly, it was when I was supposed to return to work in March, it was after having my second kid. And so I think that like questions of like how you look, who you are, I think are super in flux, you know, when you're mm-hmm. pregnant and then you're postpartum. And so I think for me, hate wearing was more of a reflection of like that kind of more existential confusion where I was like excited to sort of return to like a kind of professional independent me. And obviously that was not in the cards this past year.
Rehan Harmansi, culture writer. Her story, Pandemic Dressing Takes a Dark Turn, was in the New York Times in January. Thanks so much for talking with us. Really appreciate having you on.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we're talking with Elizabeth Segrin, senior staff writer at Fast Company, about COVID fashion, how the pandemic has shaped our attitudes about clothing, and also our attitudes about outward appearances. And there's so much to dig into. We're getting lots of calls and comments. So let me just see if I can grab one more, Elizabeth Segrin. Sharon in Oakland, go ahead, just before the break here. Mm-hmm. Hi, Sharon.
Oh, hey. Well, I'm very concerned about people dressing up for Zoom. I just think people should. I think people are disappearing on Zoom. And if you need to have a meeting, I think it's very important. Dress up, bring in that color. I don't know, earrings, scarves, whatever it takes, you know. Put cold water on your face. That's a dress. I mean, I think it's critical. Dressing up can really help uplift the spirit.
Because you feel like, why do you feel like you need that?
Because I want to see it reflected back. That's why.
Like some sense of trying. Well, Matt writes kind of something similar. Matt writes, being in Silicon Valley where the hoodie is the uniform, our team has taken the opportunity to have days where we dress up for video conferences. I've worn a tuxedo more in the last year than the previous four combined. Elizabeth Segrin, your reaction to what you're hearing Sharon say and Matt say?
I think that what's really interesting is that, you know, it seems like we're all going through this pandemic together, but actually I think that we're all sort of at different stages emotionally, you know, within this pandemic. Some of us are really eager for life to get back to normal, and we want to see normalcy reflected, you know, in terms of what we're wearing. And others, you know, there was a few weeks ago where I was just burnt out, you know, life was just really exhausting. And that week I didn't even wear my nap dress. I was like in pajamas all week. So I really think that, you know, part of what we're talking about here, and I think what Rehan was talking about, was that what this is really showing us is how really intertwined this expression of our identity is to who we are, right? How our clothes really reflect and interact with who we are internally. And I think that in some cases, the clothes that we wear can certainly help shift our mood. But in other cases, I think that, you know, it's a lot of pressure to put on somebody who is already at a breaking point to put on some lipstick, you know? So I think really we sort of need to be empathetic about where we're all at on this journey.
Well, Karen tweets, please talk about fashion for men. Has that changed because of the pandemic?
Yes. So yes, indeed, I've been talking about shifts primarily with women, but this trend towards more casualization has been happening with men as well. And it's so interesting because historically, the suit that men wore to work was this really important symbol of male power. And that has slowly been changing over the last 30 years as men started sort of wearing khakis to work. And then in the last 10 years, there's been this shift towards, you know, joggers. And now, you know, there are brands that are literally designing sweatpants and other sort of active wear specifically for the office. So there's definitely this trend that's happening. And I certainly think that after the pandemic, this casualization that we're seeing, you know, sweatpants everywhere, I think that that's going to be increasingly what we see men wear, you know, even in slightly more formal occasions. But I think that it also points to this underlying issue, right? Which is that this important symbol of male power is sort of disappearing. And now men and women are both sort of wearing sweatpants all the time. I think it's reflective of how gender norms and power dynamics in society are also changing.
Well, this listener wants to know if we can talk about, regarding pandemic fashion, the glorious and iconic Birkenstock. I feel like the Birkenstock was having a moment even pre-pandemic, but can you talk about the Birkenstock's role during the pandemic? Are you seeing it happen?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so, you know, there are all of these, casualization has been happening throughout you know, every part of what we wear. And the Birkenstock had this comeback. You know, there was a long time when people talked about it as kind of an ugly shoe. And now it's just part of what we wear every day. And I think it's just another thing that that is allowing us to feel comfortable during this period. In my case, I'm wearing Dansko clogs, another piece of footwear that's like extremely comfortable. I think we're all moving towards comfort, and that's, I think that's a really, that's a great thing. And brands and designers are trying to make these comfortable things as beautiful as they can. And the same is true with Birkenstock. They've come up with really beautiful, but very comfortable versions of their sandal.
Well, we're coming up on a break here, but I do want to, after the break, dig in with you a little bit more about what I was hearing, especially from our earlier listener, about just the pandemic making us think about vulnerability and sustainability and how whether this moment really might be enough to really shake up the fashion industry. So stay with us for that. I'm Mina Kim.
We've all got those parts of our house where the internet just won't go. Well, if you had wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you could worry less about dead spots. Because with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you get fast speeds, reliable connection in every room, and power for all of your devices, even when everyone's online. That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi, only with Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. We're talking with Elizabeth Segrin, senior staff writer at Fast Company, about our clothing choices during the pandemic, what they say about us, what those choices might be after the pandemic, and the cultural shifts in fashion that the pandemic has brought or accelerated. And we want to hear from you. What item of clothing has gotten you through? Are you considering never dressing up again? Or are you excited about dressing for the office or for wearing trendy styles or for going out? Have you begun to rethink the importance of how you appear to the outside world as a result of the pandemic and some norms that have been put in place? 866-733-6786 is the number. Email address forum@kqed.org. Get in touch on Twitter or Facebook at KQED Forum. This listener writes, "The Cozy, a giant fleece-lined hoodie. It's all over TikTok and something I wear too often." And KQED's Carly Severn tweets, "Jumpsuits all day, every day." Wow, my KQED crew got into this. KQED's Ethan Tobin Lindsay tweets, "I was talking with another father last week, and neither of us could remember the last time we put on shoes that had laces." Elizabeth Segrin, one of the things that I wanted to talk with you about was manufacturing. You were touching on this earlier about how fast fashion and fast fashion brands have been rethinking what they do. And I was thinking about how the pandemic has really made us think about our vulnerability as human beings and maybe think more about the environment and the sustainability generally and the kinds of issues that fashion creates for the environment. So can you talk a little bit about what changes you've been seeing on that front with brands and manufacturing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the important thing to provide context here is that, you know, the fashion industry is a highly polluting industry. It is responsible for between 4 and 10% of global emissions. It's responsible for 20% of all toxic wastewater. It is a terribly polluting industry that is accelerating climate change, and it's causing so much pollution. And you know, when you really look at it, the problem is not necessarily, you know, specific materials or particular manufacturing practices. It's just the sheer volume of clothes that are being produced. There's data that shows that between 2000 and 2015, the number of clothes manufactured every year doubled from 50 billion to 100 billion garments a year. So now there's more than 100 billion garments being made every year for 8 billion humans. That is way more clothes than any of us needs. And it's all driving the planet towards collapse, which is the brink of collapse. So I think, you know, the thing that will really change, you know, the future of the planet and really make the fashion industry more sustainable is just reversing this trend of overproduction. And just, you know, for consumers to own less and to wear the things that they own longer. And you know what happened during the pandemic? A lot of us started buying less and wearing those clothes more frequently. So as somebody who thinks a lot about sustainability and fashion, I think this is really amazing because it was really hard to change consumer behavior. And this external thing that happened to all of us had a way of changing our relationship with clothing. Now, the question is, can this continue, right? What's going to happen after this? And I think that it's just really important for all of us to be a lot more conscious about our consumption habits, and also realize that we can do very well with less. And so, you know, I've already heard from some of your listeners who are saying, you know, man, you know, being at home for a year has made me, you know, rethink all of the clothes that I have. I think that that's happening all over the country. And if as a collective group of consumers, we make this shift, I think that's going to be, that's a really welcome a change for the whole world.
And let me go to caller David in Oakland next. Hi, David.
Hey, how are you doing?
Great.
First off, I want to add a plug for the Birkenstocks. I'm wearing Birkenstock clogs right now, which for years I thought was the ugliest shoe anyone could ever imagine. And I just finally just bought a pair a month ago, and this is the only thing I wear.
Well, thank you for sharing. Did you have something else, or did you want to leave?
That, I think that the point, revisiting the point about getting ready in the morning with all our kids homeschooling, I find that, especially with my kids, making sure they get out of their pajamas and get dressed in the morning really motivates them. And I kind of feel it does the same thing for me. Hmm. So just, you know, with all the parents struggling with kids and having a hard time in school and everything like that, that's something that really helps us. And on Saturday mornings, too, to get going.
Yeah. Well, David, thanks for saying that, because the psychological effect of clothes is definitely coming through in a lot of our comments. For example, Sandra writes, I feel so much better when I look nice. My husband and I get dressed every night for dinner, but I'm really looking forward to wearing jackets and blazers again. Paula writes, now I dress up when I go out because I want to be creative and glamorous. At home, I gravitate to my favorite comfort clothes, but I get so bored with them. The first festival I go to, I'm wearing my tutu because I just don't care what people think. I am 58. And Aaron writes, I embrace hate wear as an expression of my resentment of phony professionalism, which the pandemic exacerbated, having the same expectations placed on us during the pandemic when they were already unrealistic to begin with, just speaks to coldness and the true uncaring nature of the corporate world. Let me go to Julia in Palo Alto. Hi, Julia.
Yes. Hi. How are you doing?
I'm well.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I was calling to throw in my hat, so to speak, with the listeners who are looking forward to dressing up again. For me, during COVID, there have been a lot of life changes over the last couple of years. But obviously, with COVID coming along, and particularly with the discovery that obesity seems to be a comorbidity factor for it, I finally got very scared and said, okay, I need to take the doctor's advice and try to lose some weight. So I've been fortunate that I was able to do this, that my COVID project has been to lose quite a lot of weight. And so now I'm looking at all these lovely things in my closet that I've owned for years but have not been able to wear. And I'm very much looking forward to COVID being over, so we can go out and dress up and put some effort in and frankly feel better about myself and hopefully look at lots of other folks who have made an effort to look their best as well. And I'm not referring necessarily to weight on other people, but just making an effort. I mean, like many of your listeners, I sit at home in comfort wear and gym clothes and t-shirts and sweats and that sort of thing. But I'm totally sick of it and can't wait to go out and be a little bit more formal.
Well, Julia, thanks for sharing that. Elizabeth Segrin, I don't know if you have a reaction.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just hearing the spectrum of places on the emotional spectrum there is really interesting, from people really being angry to being sort of excited about the future. I do think that that the rebound is going to happen. If history is any guide for us, there is going to be this return to wanting to go out and wear very different clothes. I just hope that this time, we turn to some of the new sustainable technologies that we now have to do that, right? So like maybe we can turn to clothing rentals, or maybe we can buy secondhand clothes on all of the different secondhand marketplaces that are out there. I think that it's possible for us to embrace this moment of return to normalcy and fabulousness while also, you know, sort of adhering to our sustainable values.
Well, Trudy writes, I bought navy blue men's coveralls like a working guy. I wear them while I make art. I like the androgyny of them, the comfort, the functionality. Wearing them makes me feel like I am really working. Navi writes, my parents forced me to wear sweatpants as a kid. I hated the feel and look. I'm male identified and I'm wearing a pair of leggings as I type this, and they feel amazing.
Yes.
Let me go to Vigaya in Sunnyvale. Join us.
Yes,
Vijaya, am I saying your name right?
Yes, it's Vijaya. Thank you. Thank you for having me on. So I host and produce shows on South Asian radio here in the Bay Area. And ever since this pandemic lockdown happened, everything's moved to Zoom. And, you know, the shows are even broadcast on Facebook Live as well. So I decided to then wear my saris, which have been just sitting in the closet forever. I've inherited thousands of them from my mother as an only child. And so I said, they're not getting their time in the sun. So I decided to make it an occasion and wear it for every show.
Aww.
So that's how I'm using this time. And it makes me feel good. I dress up for that bit, and you know, it makes you feel like all dressed up and somewhere to go kind of thing. So it's nice.
Well, yeah. Vijaya, thanks for sharing that. I really appreciate
it. I really love that. I'm also South Asian. But that also makes me, it reminds me of something, which is that there's this other South Asian garment. It's called the kurta. It's called different things in different parts of the country, but it's essentially a very glamorous pajama with a drawstring waist. And I think it sort of exemplifies how you can be both fabulous and comfortable. And I think that that's kind of the lane I want to go in after the pandemic.
Again, Elizabeth Segrin is senior staff writer at Fast Company. You're listening to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. And Cole writes, I go as far as to screen test some of my outfits before Zoom time. Avoid pinstripes. They blur. And Jan writes, I've always enjoyed fashion, so I attempt to do my part. I dress smart and casual most days as I want to present well on Zoom, but I do have to remember that I don't have to top up my lipstick when going out because masks. Elizabeth Segrin, these two comments are actually reminding me in terms of when we were talking about what could last from this pandemic. I mean, first of all, how clothing looks on screen, how big of that is a consideration in the fashion industry? How big is that a consideration in the fashion industry? And I'm also really curious to know what you think will be the future of face masks.
Ooh. Well, okay, I have answers to both of those. So in terms of the first one, I have heard from designers that they're actively designing for Zoom. So I was talking to Rebecca Minkoff recently, and you know, she is basically very conscious about how clothes are going to look on Zoom as she's designing them. And so many of her most recent pieces have kind of dramatic sleeves, which tend to show up pretty nicely. She's also selling a lot more accessories, things like necklaces and scarves. There's been a spike in some companies' jewelry sales because those are things that are visible on Zoom. And all of these companies are really betting that Zoom is going to be part of our life indefinitely. You know, after all of this, you know, even if some of us are going back to work, we're going to be living the Zoom life for a long time. And so this is the new normal. So definitely designers are actively thinking about this, and fabulous tops for Zoom are going to be part of our future. And then in terms of the other question about masks, so the experts that I've spoken to think that masks are going to be part of our lives, you know, for a long time. This already happened in Asia after, you know, previous pandemics that they experienced, like the bird flu, for instance, and other pandemics that were worse in that region. Mask wearing sort of became normal for them. And, you know, if somebody, you know, is just not feeling well, or if there's kind of a high incidence of flu that season, everybody just takes their masks back out and puts them on. And so I think that there's a very good chance that that's going to happen here as well. And, you know, there's some evidence that, you know, this year in the United States, we didn't really get a flu season, partly because all of us were wearing masks. And so even after the COVID pandemic is gone, when flu season comes around, you know, any of us who's conscious of it and doesn't want to get the flu, we might start just wearing masks again.
Well, I mean, I'm sure then the industry is thinking about, I guess they already have been, in terms of just the style of masks and what masks communicate.
Totally. There's a lot, every fashion designer has their own mask. There are these beautiful chains now and necklaces that you can have to attach the mask to your outfit. And so fashionable masks are definitely a thing now. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of a little bit depressing, I think, because, you know, for us, I think the mask is the singular symbol, yes, of this dark period. And so I'm going to be very excited to be out in the world not wearing a mask again. But I do think that, you know, in 6 months from now, a year from now, you know, if somebody in my family is not feeling well, I might put on a mask again so that I don't inadvertently infect somebody else.
Let me go to Daniel in San Francisco. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Nina.
Hi. What do you want to say, Daniel?
So, I've been swimming since COVID in the Bay. So I'm either wearing
a speedo, a caftan, or nothing at all at Baker Beach.
Well, that's great.
Beach babe I wanted to be.
And is that something you would have done before pandemic?
No. I started after the pandemic because all the gyms closed down. And I was always a swimmer. And so all the pools were closed down, everything closed down. So then I just started swimming in the bay. It's been a game changer. And I love it.
Well, Daniel, thanks for sharing that. We're almost out of time here. We've got a couple of more comments that are definitely leaning towards the desire to dress up that you're saying that is out there, Elizabeth Segrin. John writes, the beautiful formal fashion at Biden's inauguration made me yearn for occasions where it's imperative to dress up. Kathy tweets, yesterday I put on a new pair of jeans, not sweats, and nice flats, not slippers, and went to a hair salon. It felt wonderful, like a small step on the path to normal. And so, yes, we're definitely getting at this desire to dress up and look nice again coming through from our listeners. But overall, and I don't know if you have the same impression, Elizabeth Segrin, it really just sounds like people are wearing what feels right to them as opposed to worrying as much about what other people see, since there really isn't as much of that, especially when we're going out, especially in terms of going out for fun or for other reasons that are not work related. And I really hope at least that continues.
I think it's an absolutely wonderful development that we're dressing for ourselves and we're dressing to feel good and to feel comfortable. And I think, you know, just even being aware, you know, there was one very early listener who was talking about how his wife is dressing so that she feels like herself. Even kind of identifying the outfit that makes us feel most ourselves, I think that's a really important thing to do, just, you know, not just, you know, aesthetically and sartorially, but just, you know, as a way to sort of express our truest self, right? And so I think that's a really wonderful thing.
Well, Elizabeth Segrin, I so appreciate you coming on to talk with us about COVID fashion and what this time will do in terms of our relationship to clothing, but also in terms of the cultural shifts that we are making as a nation. Elizabeth Segrin, senior staff writer at Fast Company, thank you again.
Thank you so much. And I think you should definitely have Fashion Friday from now on.
Well, thanks. And you can send in pics, listeners, of your comfort clothes for a chance to be featured on our Instagram if you would like. So please do that. And I want to thank Susan Britton for producing today's segment. Forum is also produced by Judy Campbell, Tina Lauerberg, Ariana Prale, Blanca Torres, Grace One, Raquel Maria Dillon. Our engineers are Danny Bringer, Katie McMurrin. Our interns are Leslie Torres and Kimia Akbari. Our executive editor is Ethan Tobin Lindsay, and our chief content officer is Holly Kernan. And I also want to note that today is Dan Zoll's last official day as Forum's senior editor. Under Dan's leadership, Forum broadened its range of topics, its responsiveness to breaking news, and nurtured new talent. Now, after 14 years of guiding the program, our always kind and thoughtful Elvis Costello superfan is beginning a new chapter of his own. So on behalf of the team, Dan, it's been an honor. I'm Mina Kim. This is Forum. Watching the detectives, watching the detectives, watching the detectives, watching the detectives, watching the detectives. Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.
Support for Forum comes from San Francisco Opera. Set 10 years after a school shooting, the critically acclaimed opera Innocence takes us into a complex emotional journey where our understanding of innocence and guilt is constantly upended. Kaija Saariaho's ethereal score collapses the past into the present as a community of survivors grapple with how to move forward. Don't miss the highly anticipated American premiere of Innocence, June 1st through 21st. Learn more at sfopera.com.
We've all got those parts of our house where the internet just won't go. Well, if you had wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you could worry less about dead spots. Because with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you get fast speeds, reliable connection in every room, and power for all of your devices, even when everyone's online. That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi only with Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.